quote is right here. Are you a petitioner in American
science? May it please the court. Mr. Lawrence Ebner will present an argument for the petitioner. They have reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, the issue in this appeal is whether the Eastland Court of Appeals erred by failing to apply this court's fit for preemption holding in Quest to the respondent's labeling-related crop damage claims, claims involving a tank mix whose use was explicitly authorized by the U.S. EPA-approved labeling. There are 4 points that I would like to emphasize this morning. The first point is that to resolve this appeal, the court simply should reaffirm its holding in Quest that Section 136BB of FIFRA preempts all labeling-related state law claims. Quest is consistent with an overwhelming body of FIFRA preemption case law, and nothing in Quest suggests that FIFRA preemption is limited to labeling-related claims that allege personal injury. My second point is that the U.S. Supreme Court's Medtronic decision, which involved a very different statutory scheme, has no effect on FIFRA preemption. My third point is that EPA's PR Notice 96-4 guidance document, which focuses on the efficacy data waiver, is irrelevant to this phytotoxicity or crop poisoning case. And my fourth point is that there is no reason to question the lower court's finding that all of the respondents' claims are labeling related. Section 136.
What was your last point?
My last point is that there is no reason for this court to revisit the finding of the lower courts that all of the respondents' claims are related to the EPA-approved labeling. Section 136VB of FIFRA.
Would it assume here that the mixture did kill the crop or hurt the crop? Would they have a claim that's not labeling related?
Well, hypothetically, a tank mixture could kill a crop, for example, if there were some sort of manufacturing flaw in the chemical, some contaminant that wasn't supposed to be there. And in that sort of situation, there would be no
products
FIFRA
case.
Preemption.
They'd have a products case.
That would be a products case. But here...
What if it was intended to be? I mean, they just had a bad product.
Excuse me?
What if the product simply didn't work? In fact, worse, it didn't work. It killed crops. That was the way their chemist designed it. They'd still be a case.
Well, it depends on what the factual situation is. If... These are products.
That might be a design defect.
It may be a design defect.
Would that be preempted under a labeling preemption?
It depends on whether the design defect claim is really a labeling-related claim in disguise.
A failure to warn sort of thing.
A failure to warn. There can be some design defect claims that are unrelated to labeling, but in many of the FIFRA preemption cases that have been decided, the courts have held that although a claim purports to be based on a design defect, it's really a labeling, a failure to warn claim in disguise.
If the court determines this is really an efficacy issue, and the FIFRA legislation says that EPA is not to consider efficacy, then you lose.
No, Your Honor, we do not lose. And the reason goes
how
to...
How can there be express or even implied preemption if the enabling legislation to begin with tells the agency, don't pay any attention to that?
Well, that's not what the enabling legislation says with due respect. Yeah. What the respondents refer to in their briefs is the so-called efficacy data waiver, which allows EPA to waive the automatic submission of efficacy or product effectiveness data at the time a pesticide is first registered. It doesn't say anything about whether EPA can regulate labeling to prevent crop damage due to either phytotoxicity or lack of efficacy, two different concepts, when and if problems develop after a pesticide, or in this case, a tank mixture, is used.
But what's the reason for waiving in the first instance? the reason for waiving is articulated, wasn't it, that these disputes can be resolved through state actions?
Well, the reason that Congress put the efficacy data waiver in FIFRA was to enable EPA to focus on risk issues, including crop risk issues, and to let the marketplace be the judge of whether a product is effective, whether it will kill the weeds, for example, when a product is introduced.
Well, and that's why I don't understand your answer to Justice Enoch's question, that if we were to determine the crop damage as an efficacy issue, now understand you're claiming it's phytotoxicity and that's a different issue from efficacy, but if we were to find, as I believe his question was premised, that it was efficacy, then would your position, then you'd lose?
No, with due respect, I don't think we would lose because EPA does, in fact, regulate labeling when and if efficacy problems develop after a pesticide is registered.
Well, let me ask you on that score. Do you agree with what appears to be a common assumption that an express warranty is not preempted under FIFRA? So if there was an express warranty about the product, American cyanamide could face state claims?
Well, not under the circumstances of this case, because in this case...
Well, just as a general proposition.
Okay, as a general proposition, it depends on the nature of the representation forming the express warranty. The case law has
held...
So
if they warrant that this will increase crop production by 50%, would that be preempted or not?
If a company warrants that it will be increased by 50% and the label doesn't say, which it probably wouldn't, that it would be increased by 50%, that claim probably would not be preempted. However, there is much case law holding that express warranty claims are preempted by FIFRA when the express warranty, let's say an oral representation by a manufacturer's representation or an advertising claim, repeats or is consistent with or doesn't substantially differ from what the labeling says.
Well, I understand. There's the argument.
So it depends on the. It depends on the representation which forms the basis of the express warranty, and whether that representation repeats what's on the labeling.
Let me get the point. I understand the argument. If the express warranty is that you can tank mix this, pursuit with Prowl, that is the same thing that's on the label or
yes.
substantial related, so
yes.
that would be preempted. I understand.
Yes, right.
But if the warranty is this increases your production by 50%, that's not on the label. There's nowhere there. That's just in the advertising brochure. That probably wouldn't be preempted because that really isn't phytotoxicity. That really is saying we've got a good product out here. We're making a guarantee that this you use this product and it produces a different.
That probably would not be preempted under that hypothetical, which is not this case, but I think Your Honor's
but
question...
But in this case, there is the argument that there was a warranty that this is a good product.
Well, the claim that's being made here is that the tank mix could be used on peanuts. That's what the claim is of the respondents. The advertising said that Pursuit can be tank mixed with Prowl for use on peanuts. That is exactly the same as what the label said, the federally approved label. And for that reason, the Court of Appeals correctly found, as did the trial court, that the advertising claims upon which this entire case is based merely repeat what is on the federally approved label, and therefore all of those claims are labeling related. And the case law holds, for example, the Fifth Circuit of crop damage opinion in Andrus, and the California Supreme Court opinion in Echeverry, that if a misrepresentation claim or an express warranty claim is based on an off-label representation that repeats what's on the label, it is preempted. And that is exactly the situation here. But Your Honor's question, I'd like to add, just underscores an important point, which is that FIFRA preemption is a limited defense. It does apply to labeling-related claims. But it's limited in the sense that it does not apply to claims which are not labeling related.
Well,
so it's a limited defense.
That gets to my problem. There are lots of labels that don't say much, like engineered like no other car. That may be good, that may be bad. You don't know. This label says these two chemicals can be mixed.
Yes.
And I guess they won't blow up or make a toxic gas that would kill you as you were doing it or something. But it doesn't say they can be mixed and then used without untoward effect.
Well,
and what I'm wondering is, I can see the basis for the federal preemption, but surely if you went to the dealer and said, can I mix these, use this on my crop, it will kill the weeds and it won't hurt my crop, and the guy says yes, would that be illegal?
Yes, it would be. And the reason is that this statement that the products can be tag mixed appears on the EPA-approved label. EPA approves that label pursuant to the statutory standards of FIFRA, the unreasonable adverse effects standard of FIFRA, which requires EPA to determine when they register a product that it's not going to have unreasonable adverse effects on the environment, which is defined to include crops. So it is implicit in the tank mix statement on the labeling that it's not going to be phytotoxic to crops. And for that reason, the claim is preempted.
So if it were just absolutely determined that it did, that there was a mistake here, and this really did kill crop, there were just the federal labeling would just preempt it in your view?
I didn't hear the last part of the question.
The federal labeling would preempt it in your view?
Well, if the tank mix, in fact, killed the crops, then it would be a matter of EPA determining whether that tank mix should be prohibited from the labeling. But there is no such determination that has been made.
The first of these crops have been damaged as a result is just out of luck.
Well,
there's no remedy. There's no place to go. There's not anything to do.
Well, this particular plaintiff, based on this
Based on Justice Heck's hypothetical.
No,
that particular plaintiff just lost your crops. Too bad.
If the plaintiff lost the crops because the plaintiff relied on a representation that the products can be tank mixed, which is what the label says, then FIFRA would preempt that claim, which is not to say that FIFRA preempts all crop damage claims.
Okay, so the answer to the question is yes, and that plaintiff has no remedy under either state or federal law.
That plaintiff has no remedy if the claim is labeling related. That is correct.
Any other questions? Thank you. Oh, no.
Good.
Sorry.
I got a question.
Okay.
Now, you do talk about post-registration investigation.
Yes, Your Honor.
There is an issue here, it seems to me, that was raised, that the guys say the EPA has never expressed an interest in crop damage complaints about tank mixing. You had indicated that the issue about the toxicity, the issue here is a post-registration, not a pre-registration kind of notion that's
correct
out there, I guess,
on the phytotoxicity.
So, are you agreeing that the EPA has expressed no interest on the post-registration about the about the efficacy of these pesticides?
Not at all, Your Honor. I'm not agreeing with that because when and if problems develop, the statute requires reporting to EPA, and if EPA determines that there is a problem to either phytotoxicity or to lack of efficacy with respect to a single pesticide or with respect to a tank mixture of pesticides, it will regulate the labeling to prevent crop damage. For example,
does this permit the guys to make a report to the EPA that their crops have been adversely affected by this tank mix?
It certainly would allow the farmer to write to EPA and make them aware of that, yes.
But that's the end of it?
Not necessarily. Congress gave EPA the discretion to determine what warnings, what prohibitions, if any,
after
to make.
After the fact.
Well,
I mean, if they make a report and say, well, we put the mix on our peanuts and it killed them.
Well,
if American put something on their label, you can mix it, but don't put it on peanuts.
If all EPA has is one unsubstantiated claim that a tank mix caused crop damage, it's not clear to me that EPA would prohibit that tank mix. On the other hand, if there was a pattern of phytotoxicity reported to EPA, as the statute requires the manufacturer to do under certain circumstances, when there are a series of incidents, then EPA can decide.
So it's the manufacturer that makes the report.
Well,
the statute... Farmer writes to America and says, the mix did our peanuts in, and you say, okay, I'll report it to the EPA, but we think it's a spurious claim, so that's all we're going to do.
Well, the statute requires the manufacturer to report incidents of phytotoxicity under certain circumstances.
Do you agree there's a difference between phytotoxicity and efficacy?
Excuse me?
Is there a difference between the two?
Yes, there is, and those are terms of art that are explained in the EPA guidelines. Efficacy involves the ability of the herbicide to kill the weed, and phytotoxicity is the property of a pesticide or a tank mixture that kills the crop, which is certainly an unintended thing. And the efficacy data waiver...
Efficacy is the capacity for producing a desired result, which is to kill the weeds.
Kill the weeds, kill the insects, whatever the pesticide is intended to do, whether the pesticide is effective for its intended purpose.
So long as it does something other than that, then it's phytotoxicity, and you can't have a lawsuit for it because it's preempted.
Well, you can't have a lawsuit for phytotoxicity if all of the claims in the lawsuit, as this one does, challenge the labeling statement, which allows the tank mix and implicitly says that the tank mix will not be phytotoxic, and where there is nothing in the record to indicate that EPA, after its review, determined that it was phytotoxic or required a label warning or prohibition against use of that tank mix.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Court is ready to hear argument.
May it please the court. Mr. Krull and Stevens will present an argument for the respondent.
May it please the court. I represent two Eastland County peanut farmers who utilize products by the defendant in this case, Crowd and Pursuit. A lot has been made that our complaint goes around the tank mixing aspects of this case. That's not entirely true. What we have here is a case that is premised upon false advertising. For us, this is a false advertising case. That is a matter which has traditionally been relegated to the state as a matter of police action for protection of its citizens. Cases have so held. In those areas, preemption is disfavored. There is a presumption against preemption.
Is the advertising that you claim was false any different from the labeling?
I believe so in some aspects.
How so?
Well, an inspection of what the representations were that we make a complaint about, a sound choice for crop safety, doesn't cause injury to peanuts, safe to use in all peanut varieties, provide superior control without injury to young peanut plants.
That was true of the products individually. You don't claim that was untrue of the products individually, just as mixed.
As mixed. That is our complaint in regard to why this caused the damage to our crop. The mixing is something that is a EPA-approved aspect of the label, not a mandatory aspect of the label. It's in the regulations to that effect. We also disagree in their definition of the term efficacy in this case. We agree with the EPA position in this case as to the meaning of that term. And the EPA position, and this is set forth in the brief that they filed in the California case, the Echeverry case, that Mr. Abner was also counsel in connection with out in California. And in regard to these products, these herbicide products at least, efficacy has two components we would submit. Whether the pesticide controls the target pest and whether the pesticide does no harm to the target crop. So we have really a product performance and a phytotoxicity aspect that these two components...
From where do you derive that definition?
EPA. That is their definition. That's how they apply.
Do you have a citation for that?
Page 35, EPA brief with note 69. That brief's been filed with the court. It's submitted there. I think it's also self-evident.
But
from,
does that come from that pesticide review, that PR 964, that letter? Is that what they're basing it on?
That, I think also the regs, which were promulgated, I would submit pursuant to two authority. One, the general authority of the administrator to promulgate regulations in this area, but also by specific mandate of Congress to delegate the right to the EPA administrator to not require data to be submitted in regard to not only product performance, but also phytotoxicity aspects, which are covered by two of the regs that are cited in the brief.
In DuPont's amicus brief, they cite Section 136A, C5C, and they say that before the EPA can register a pesticide, it's got to determine whether the pesticide will perform its intended function without unreasonable adverse effects on the environment. Is that still a requirement?
I don't see it that way, Your Honor. Administrator, 136AC5 is what I would call the waiver statute that allows the administrator to waive submission of data in regard to those areas that they've done.
Does the statute still require the EPA to determine that the product will perform its intended function?
No, Your Honor. Not in my position.
The statute just doesn't say that.
Well, what it does, it allows the administrator to waive submission of data in regard to those areas, and the EPA has done so. What we really have here is an area of non-regulation as to this dispute problem we have before the court. The EPA is not requiring chemical companies to submit any data concerning product performance, phytotoxicity, in regard to these agricultural chemicals.
Well, but phytotoxicity, doesn't that relate to the EPA's fundamental function as regulating environmental issues? And the whole purpose behind carving out the efficacy exception appeared to be to allow the EPA to focus on health and environment. And if you've got crop damage, why does that not relate to environment and come within what the EPA is supposed to be looking at?
The EPA's explanation on that, and again, I go back to their amicus brief filed before the California court, is what they're talking about is a natural environment. Here we're talking about crops that are placed there by planting them, by culturing them, whatever the case may be.
But I thought the definition of environment included all plants, which includes crops.
I agree that plants include crops. I don't agree necessarily that the definition of environment means the plants, as far as the EPA is concerned.
If environment includes plants and plants includes crops, why does an environment include crops?
Judge, I've had more problems with semantics in this case than probably any I've ever had.
Well, but if that's the case, if environment does include crops, then why wouldn't it come within the EPA's auspices to want to retain that piece of it?
Actually, I think the answer to the question has to be they say it doesn't.
That's
what the EPA takes position.
In
regard to the amicus brief, they said that. They say they're not.
But it's not in the regs.
Not in the regs. That way, no.
But what Congress has said is paramount. Congress has told them before you put these products on the market, you've got to ensure that they perform their intended function without unreasonable effects on the environment.
And Congress has told them that you have the authority to waive these aspects concerning these products.
It says you can waive the data requirement.
That doesn't say that
don't pay attention to what we've told you what to do. We're leaving it up to you how you do that, and you can waive the data requirement.
But in application, they're doing none of it.
Well, do you
over
agree
20
with
years, I have.
Do you agree with the statement that was made earlier that post-incident, the EPA does come back into the picture?
They have the right to do so. It's in the regs. The problem we have here is it's never happened. That in regard to this incident, they determine whether or not they need to make some sort of a report.
Let me ask on that, not necessarily on the report, if this court determines that your claim is not preempted, you go back to trial, the jury determines that this mixture, this tank mixture should not be used on peanuts. And they make that determination, which I guess is your claim. It's false advertising. You said it could be and it couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So the jury says, you're right, that was false. They could not. The result will be that your farmer receives recovery for the damages to their crops. Is American Cyanamid now permitted to add to its label, don't use tank mixtures, don't use this tank mixture if you're going to put it on peanuts?
I think they can.
Could they do that without the EPA's authority?
I think they would have to resubmit the label to the EPA, get approval from the EPA before they put it in the marketplace.
And if the EPA refused to approve that on the label, what happens?
As I understand the EPA's position and how they handle tank mixing type situations, it is not an approved type situation. They don't get into that. It's there. It goes through the process. They don't really get into regulating those aspects of the label. It's more of an application
would
issue.
Would cyanide have to put, but at least as in Texas, the label would have to show that it's not, could not be used for peanuts based on the jury decision that that was false advertising, that it could be used for peanuts?
They could elect not to sell the product for peanut usage at all if they so sought. I'm not sure I understand your question.
Okay. Well, or they would put a warning on the label that this product could be used for other applications but not for peanuts.
Yeah, they could.
And in Texas, that would be the shape of the label.
Well, I think
it would. Well, they didn't label it. I mean, if they didn't label it, the next lawsuit would be you already knew it was wrong. So this was intentional conduct to mislead us by having a label that said it could be tank mixed. So they'd have to put it on the label.
We actually have that in this case. Some reports to in the prior year that this was causing harm to crops in a tank mixture situation, and they sold it the following year. One of the aspects that we have in this case. But the problem I think they really have with their arguments in this case is EPA doesn't agree with them.
Well, they didn't agree in California either, and California rejected that position. So how do you square this with Echeverry?
Well, I give Mr. Ebner some credit for that. His services are very much in demand in this area. The California court, I think, is just flat out wrong. I think they even acknowledged that in the opinion. When they acknowledged that the two regs that had been promulgated by the EPA pursuant to congressional mandate that they can waive data submission requirements were both, one of which is a vital toxicity reg, the other is a product performance type reg, that they were both promulgated pursuant to an efficacy waiver that Congress gave to the EPA.
Yes, so, about the credibility of that the EPA viewed. Environmental Protection Agency is set up with a specific purpose of protecting the environment. Could the agency itself decide that we're not going to decide whether or not this chemical will kill the environment? Could they just, an agency, make a determination that we're not going to decide if this chemical will kill the environment?
I think they have got to carry out their congressionally mandated function, whatever that, in their opinion, is.
Could they define crop damage? If the Congress says, look, we don't want you to get involved in competing claims of which is better than which, and could the EPA just, okay, efficacy is something we're not responsible for, so we're going to define efficacy to include damage to the environment, so we don't have to regulate that. Could the agency choose to do that?
I don't think the agency has the right or the ability to not perform its desired function. Whether they could or not, happily, that's not an issue in this case.
Well, what does a waiver provision mean? By waiving submission of data, haven't they waived regulation?
That's our position.
And the statute allows them to do that.
Mm-hmm. And they've done that. And so our argument and what we wish to point out to this court is that we have an area that we don't get the protection that EPA is supposed to provide, or people may think it's supposed to provide, if people think that they are actually doing their job in regard to this area.
But then the question is this efficacy? I mean, kills the weeds, I presume. Just kill everything else, is your complaint.
They're hurt it a lot. And I say to that, EPA has defined what efficacy is. I realize the Echeverry case went off on the efficacy issue, and that's the basis a lot for their holding is a different definition of efficacy than EPA
has. But can the EPA, by redefining the efficacy, define itself out of the job that Congress has told it to do?
I think the EPA has done what Congress has allowed it to do by not requiring data to be submitted. So really what EPA is doing in this case is they are following the intent of Congress, which is the touchstone of a
now,
preemption.
Now, but Congressman question. Efficacy not to include just the weeds, does it kill the weeds? That's what Congress had in mind with respect to efficacy. And the EPA comes back and says, well, we want it to be broader. We want it to include crop damage because we want to get out of the business of examining these pesticides for crop damage. Can the EPA come back and do that?
Apparently the EPA thought it had the right to do so. It promulgated two regs. It had a force of law that does that and has been that way for a substantial period of time.
I thought the regs also allowed the commission to come in and look at crop damage claims or issues and change labeling if there were, in fact, crop damage issues.
After the fact, there is provisions in it. You're correct, Your Honor, that when there is a problem, they have an obligation to report them. That hasn't happened in this case.
But the label controls up until the time the EPA makes the determination that that label should be changed.
The label is solely a function of the EPA approval process, yeah.
Which can be changed by the EPA
if, requested,
if there's crop damage.
Or I suppose if there is an issue that they can require and investigate. But this is all after the fact. This is regulation after there's been no regulation. And so we have, in essence here, a situation where the EPA is not exercising any regulatory aspects or authority up front.
But they are doing it. They certainly have the authority to do it.
Have authority. I don't know if they've ever done it. I could find nothing to indicate that they've ever done that, particularly in regard to these two chemicals. It's not in the record below that they ever did do it. It's not in the record below that it was ever even reported the problem that we have. So it hadn't taken place. The regulation, the protection that the EPA is charged to provide has not taken place in this situation. And, we've simply got an issue to where we don't have the protection.
Suppose, under the statute, suppose that someone wants to market a new herbicide or crop application and submits data to the EPA. And it determines, based on this data, this is what the label should be, this is right. It tracks through the requirements of the statute. Then it turns out that there was not enough data. People were acting in good faith, but the particular situation was overlooked, and it really is misleading, and it should be changed. In that case, would the injured farmer have a cause of action?
I don't think so.
Because they were regulating and they did it as much as they could, and they just messed up.
There is a fraud exception that's recognized
right.
That I found, and your question did not include that circumstance, as I understood it. But
here you say it's different because there's no regulation at all.
That's
They're
right.
just saying we pass, and the Act gives us the right to pass.
And therefore, I'm suggesting there's no preemption because they are not occupying this area of the field.
Well, isn't it really they have the authority to act? Your position is preemption only applies when they have the authority and they actually act.
In this instance, a little different. We've got a congressional mandate that allows the administrator to waive the submission of this data.
Assuming we disagree with you about what efficacy means, assuming that we think there's a difference between efficacy and phototoxicity. They in any event, they have the authority to take action either way.
EPA had the authority, or had the right, I guess is one way of saying it, to not relinquish that authority. They exercised the option that Congress gave them and promulgated a couple of regs that waived data submission. It's how I'd best describe
it. Waived data submission, but they could still require it up front if they wanted to, and they certainly can take actions after the fact to change the label.
They left that door open. It's in essence.
And my question to you is, doesn't, you're not looking at preemption, in your view, doesn't turn on what authority they have, but what authority they actually exercise. And we have to look beyond the statutes and beyond the regs to determine whether there's preemption.
Maybe a matter of semantics, but in my viewpoint, they no longer have that authority because they relinquished it when they promulgated these regs. Now, can they promulgate new regs and we reacquire that authority? I suspect so. Or revoke those old regs. We respectfully request that the judgment of the Court of Appeals be affirmed. We appreciate the court allowing us to hear today.
There are 2 points I'd like to make. First, regarding the Echeverry case in California, the facts here are more compelling than they are in Echeverry, because in Echeverry, there were two labels for the pesticides, and neither label explicitly authorized the tank mix. Yet the court held that the that FIFRA preempts the crop damage claims. Here we have the label of pursuit, the EPA approved label that explicitly authorizes the tank mix. So the facts here are even stronger than Echeverry. Secondly, this is a phytotoxicity case. We attached to our brief the Respondent's Court of Appeals brief, which says that the peanuts in the treated fields wouldn't grow, their roots were stunted, they didn't develop foliage, yellow herbicide injury to peanut plants was observed. That's phytotoxicity. That's crop poisoning. I would refer the court to the EPA regulations, 40 CFR, section 158.202, subsection H, which deals with hazard to non-target organisms, including plants, that's phytotoxicity, and subsection I, product performance or efficacy. They are different concepts. I would also refer the court
but
to
the... those concepts, and I may be mistaken, I'm drawing on the comment in the California case that quoted some of the language that talked about phytotoxicity going to non-target plants versus
yes.
the crops issue.
That's a very astute observation. The non-target plant is the weed. The weed is a plant, and it's the weed that interferes with the growth of the peanut crop.
So then the non-target as opposed to, well, efficacy, the target is not the weed, it's the crop?
Well...
And the phytotoxicity, they're...
No, in this case, the phytotoxicity complaint refers to the crop itself, to the peanut. But there can be both phytotoxicity to the crop itself and also phytotoxicity to other plants. Well, let's say, for example, there's an aerial application and there's drift. And there's
let me get ahead of you. It seemed to me from those two regulations they were making it, the efficacy argument was saying with respect to the particular crop that's being sprayed, efficacy applies to that. The phytotoxicity testing applies to, say, the corn crop that was rotated in months later that this isn't supposed to be sprayed on, but it suffers.
Well, it could refer to that, but it's not limited to that. It can also refer to the target crop itself, in this case, peanuts. And that's made clear in the guidelines, the EPA definitional guidelines, which we attach to our reply brief that differentiate between the two. The court should not allow the respondents to bootstrap this phytotoxicity case into an efficacy case in order to try to make this efficacy data waiver somehow applicable. And besides, I just want to emphasize this point. All EPA has waived is the automatic submission of efficacy data at the time a pesticide is first registered.
But you agree they have waived that?
Well, they have only waived the automatic submission. The regulation says that the manufacturer has to have those data available. They have to submit it any time EPA asks for it. When and if a problem develops, after a pesticide has been registered and is actually in use in the marketplace, EPA will call those data in, and they will regulate the labeling to prevent crop damage due to either inefficacy or phytotoxicity, but when and if EPA determines that's necessary, which they haven't done here.
But at the outset, among the other things that the EPA must regulate before it registers the product, efficacy is not one of them.
That is correct. However, phytotoxicity is a different story. The unreasonable adverse effects standard does apply. Crops are part of the environment. That's what the Seventh Circuit held in Kuiper. That's what Echeverry held. And the EPA does regulate labeling to prevent crop damage due to phytotoxicity when and if it determines that's necessary.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
That completes today's arguments. The marshal will now adjourn the court.
All rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The Honorable Supreme Court of Texas now stands adjourned.